Get right into the message this morning. Father, I come today, and Father, I'm excited about the year. I'm excited about what you've already done just in the last several days. I'm excited about the prayers that you have answered. You've touched some sick folk. And Lord, you give Brother Les complete healing. We thank you for that. We thank you for touching Daryl, Lord. We improvements, and Lord, we praise you for that. And Lord, we're looking forward to what you're going to do. Then Lord, we know that people are bothered and under conviction, and Lord, we thank you for the stirring of the Holy Spirit, Lord. The talent that's in this church and for all that you've given us, we praise you and thank you for it all. Help us to use it wisely. Help us to use the talents you've given us and to be free with it instead of holding up inside. Help us to give you all that we can give you this morning. Now, Lord, I know that I fail you. I ask you again this morning to cleanse me. Remove anything in my mind or heart that might be a hindrance or a hurt. May you touch me fresh of the Holy Spirit and speak to us as only you can this morning. We're going to praise you for it all. In Jesus' name we ask and amen. Now, we're going to see 2024. We hadn't used a PowerPoint for a while, for a few years, and for the next few Sundays we're going to be using it. And I want you not only to hear it, but I want you to see it and get it in your mind. I want to make sure you follow along, and it'll go in two gates. It'll go in an ear gate and eye gate both, and maybe that'll help you to remember what we need to do. Now, New Year's is good for new problems. All right? So hold on. I'm an encourager today. Huh? New problems. But can I tell you, with the new problems that you will face, there's new grace that you ain't needed yet and you're going to have. And there's new mercy every day, and you don't need it. You don't need tomorrow's mercy till you get done with the day. And you don't need tomorrow's grace till you get done with the day. So all that, even though there's going to be new problems, there's new provisions for everything that's going to come your way, regardless of what it is, whether it's sickness, whether it's death, whether it's loss of job, whether the economy collapses, I don't really care. I really don't. I can't change it, so I ain't going to sit and worry about it. All right, I'll just pray, and as long as there's some bullets in the house and deer running around, I'll eat. And I got stuff in the cupboard that we've canned, and I can always plant a garden. So I'm all right when it comes to eating. In fact, I could probably go a few months and not eat a bite. And just be down to normal then. Just be down to my normal size before I have to lose weight, right? But what I'm telling you is God's got everything in control, and we need to rest in that and have peace in God as we have peace with God. But there's something that is necessary, I think, or something that's missing, and it's necessary that we work on. People are mean. You know, we're living in a mean time. All right? So we're going to have to work on that. All right? It ain't working, guys. You got me wrong somewhere. Click me. There's our thing. There's our thing. Let's love more in 2024. And he said, no. Can I tell you, when we get done this month and part of February with the series of messages we're going to preach, then you'll understand more and more. Because it's not just going to be one message, all right? We got to love more. I mean, people are mean. People are hateful. And then we got the world. We're mean and hateful in the church house. We're mean and hateful in the church house. Amen, preacher! We're mean and hateful in the church house. Huh? We are. Huh? We're mean and hateful at home. Husbands and wives. Huh? It's going to be hard, I know. I know it's going to be hard. But I'm going to go ahead and preach it anyhow. I'm going to preach the truth, and you deal with it as you see fit. Huh? Got meanness and hateful down at the house. Mean and hateful with husbands and wives. That's how come the spirit dead a lot of times in the church house, because you ain't getting along down at your house. Huh? They some lack of love with your children. Huh? You can't change your children, so... No, you love them. You love them. Hey, you got a problem with your neighbor. Huh? Now, Frank and Brendan, my neighbor, I don't have no trouble with them yet. I ain't through no rocks in their yard. They ain't through none of mine yet. All right? I got good neighbors, but can I tell you, these people have trouble with the neighbors? Got trouble. We got trouble with the people in our workplace. Huh? Now, whether you realize it or not, when we get mean and evil and hateful, you bring it into the church house. And you bring it in the presence of God when you try to pray. And you bring it in the presence of God when you try to read His Word. And that'll cause you not to read as much. And that'll cause you not to spend as much time in prayer. Because if you spend very much time in prayer and reading, you're going to get over that hatefulness. But you want to hold on to it right now. But what we need, a little bit more love, huh? Let's love more in 2024. Ain't that cute? Huh? It took me a long time to finally find something fitting. And you don't know the hours I spent looking for that. Huh? Just to try to get you to love a little more in 2024, all right? Ain't working, guys. Flip it for me. Listen to this now. This is true. You serve what you love. You serve what you love. You think about that. Now that's just the truth. You serve what you love. Then, and you love what you serve. If you serve the world, you love the world. And the reason you serve the world is because you love the world anyway. You love what you serve. You serve what you love. But remember, regardless of whether it's bad or good, there's no love without service. There's no love without service. Are you with me? Everybody understand that? Now, them are just true things. All right, guys. Stay with me. Don't do me like this now. Come on. Listen. Love is the unselfish concern. That's what love is. Now listen to me. Love is the unselfish concern about another's welfare. The unselfish concern. Now, a lot of time we love somebody for what we can get out of it. Huh? But that ain't what love is. Love is the unselfish concern about another's welfare. Huh? Give me the next one. Love is that act of one person, is that act of one person seeking the highest good for another person. That's what love is. Now, when you tell me you love me, then I'm going to go ahead and figure it. That's the unselfish concern you have for me. I'm going to go ahead and say, wow, I can ask anything now from them because they love me. And they're not going to be selfish about it because they're only concerned about my welfare. Huh? Yeah. So we use it lightly, don't we? Boy, I love you. I love you. I love you. Yeah, I love you. Smack you in the back of the head. I love you. Stick you in the back. I love you. Kick your kids. Huh? I love you. Love is that act of one person seeking the highest good for another person. I love you. Then I need to seek everything I can. What's going to do good for you? Think about that. Seeking the highest good. What's going to, the highest good for you? Well, wait a minute. I can't just love them. I got to love you. So I'm going to have to seek the highest good for you. Wait a minute. It's going to take some time, ain't it? But wait a minute. Love is unselfish concern. So I don't worry about the time, and I don't worry about the cost, and I don't worry about the bind. I don't worry about the things that might put me through, because it's the unselfish concern of another. Huh? Now, just on into things, I could quit right there and ask you, are you loving like you're supposed to? If not, you ought to repent. All right? And if we repented and turned the way we're supposed to, then the next time we met, this place would be so energized, because the Lord God wouldn't be hindered. If we really loved unselfishly, only concerned about you. Wow. Wow. I ain't loving nobody like that. Yes, you do. You love yourself like that. You love yourself like that. Think about that. Think about that. That's what love is. Love is that act. It's an act. It ain't a word. You hearing me? It ain't a word. It's an act. It's an action. You got to do something. Huh? The Bible even says, love not in tongue or in word or tongue, but in deed and in truth. Does that know what the Bible said? I think we just went through that here just a while back with Brother Rick teaching 1 John. Ain't that still in there? So just because he taught it, we didn't rip that out and he'd keep on. It's still in there. Huh? Ephesians is still in there. Colossians and Philippians is still in there, teaching me how to live. Huh? Jesus is still in the book. Huh? Telling me to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy might, and thy neighbor as thyself. Huh? Love. Love is that act of one person seeking the highest good for another person. Now, we're going to find out how that works in the house. With husband and wife. We're going to find out how that acts with the children. We're going to look at it in the church. Huh? We're going to look at it in the Sunday school. We're going to look at it in every aspect of the church. We're going to look at it for them people out there in the world. Huh? We're going to look at it between us and God. Huh? Do you purposely act seeking the highest good for the Lord God? That His name will be lifted up? We're going to find out here in the next 6 or 7 weeks, 8 weeks, 6 months, year and a half. Huh? We'll find out. Give me another, guys. Click it. God is love. It may never be understood. It may never be understood. Huh? But I don't have to understand it to be like a kid and skip through the hallways singing, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Huh? I can believe it. I don't have to understand it. Huh? And that's what we got to remember. Huh? Jesus loves me, this I know. We okay? All right, give me the next one, would you? All right, we're going to start. We got to start somewhere. And before I can look about me loving God, the Bible tells me that He loved me first. So I can't start with how I love God. I got to start with how He loves me to start with. So we're going to look this morning, all right? And this will be wonderful, simple gospel this morning of how God loves a sinner. Huh? How God loves a sinner. God's love for a sinner. There ain't nothing to match it. How God loves a sinner. Now you come back tonight and we'll see how God loves His children. All right? You come back tonight and we'll find that out. And then we'll see how we can love Him maybe next week. That all right? But right now let's look at how God loves a sinner. Let's look. Give me the next one. Now before I can show you the love of God for a sinner, where I show you now, I want you to listen to this. This is the love of God. We sing the song. We sing it every now and again. Sometimes it's a solo. Sometimes they play it. So every now and again, we'll sing it as a congregation. So I'm going to read you the word. I ain't going to sing it. It says, the love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. Huh? The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. When hoary time shall pass away and earthly thrones and kingdoms fall, when men who hear refuse to pray, on rocks and hills and mountains call, God's love so sure shall still endure, all measure less and strong, redeeming grace to Adam's race, the saints and angel song. And then what was found, now this song was written in the early 1900s, late 1800s, early 1900s by Frederick Lehman, as he was sitting on a lemon box, an empty lemon crate where he'd been packing vegetables, packing produce in a factory. He sat down, took a break, and wrote them two verses. And then he remembered what had been wrote a couple 300 years before, out of it, from a Jewish, found in a Jewish insane asylum. Could we think the ocean feel? And were the skies of parchment made? Were every stalk on earth a quill? And every man a scribe by trade? To write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forever more endure. The saints and angels song. We ain't gonna be able to, tell you exactly how God loves you. I'll be able to tell you about what His Word says, but I'm gonna have to show you why He loves you and what it takes to love. Do you understand what it takes to love us? Well, let me ask you. Do you love everybody equally? Do you? Now, let's get us a break and we'll say, I'm supposed to love Cheryl more than anybody else and she's supposed to love me. But after that, I'm supposed to love Boyd like I do Jane. Supposed to Libby, I'm supposed to love you all the same. But I don't. You know why? Because I don't like some of the things you do. I mean, that's just honest truth. I don't like maybe how you look. I don't like how maybe you act. Maybe I don't like where you're from. You know? Are we listening? I mean, maybe I don't like the car you drive, or I don't like the color of your house. Because we don't love like we're supposed to love. We love prejudicially. You being good to my family, you could be a mass murderer. But if you was good to somebody in my family, I'll die for you. I'm loyal. You bad in my family, I'll set your house afar and shoot you when you run out. Right? Now, of course, that's all in love. Are we okay? Do you know what it takes to love us? You know you, I know me. Do you know what it takes to love you? You know what it takes to love you and me equally? Think about that. What it takes to love us equally. The ones who think they're good and the ones that ain't no good. He loves us equally. And we're wicked as hell. That's what we are. Let's look. Psalm 7 verse 11 said, God judges the righteous and God is angry with the wicked every day. Can I tell you, before I got saved, God was mad at me every day I lived because I wasn't doing right. He didn't like what I was doing. Yes. If you're lost this morning, He don't like what you're doing. Amen. He don't like how you're doing it, who you're doing it with, or where you're doing it. Right. And it bothers Him. Because you're going against everything that He is. And He's angry. He's angry. That's what the Bible says. Give me the next one. Psalms 11, verse 4 and 5. The Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold. His eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. I don't like you when you're acting the way you act. You're ungodly. You're wicked. You rebel against me. You won't believe on me. You won't trust me. And I don't like it. That's what God says. Wait a minute. You said you're going to preach on the love of God for a sinner. I'm showing you how hard it is to love us. Before we got saved, that's how hard it is. Because we're wicked. See, nobody wants to admit they're wicked. Nobody wants to admit they're ungodly. That they blaspheme and curse God and curse people and defy everything that God has laid out. Huh? And then we want God to give us everything. Can I tell you we don't deserve none of that? Psalms 5 verse 4 and 5. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. Whoa. Let's stop right there a minute. God don't have no pleasure in wickedness, and He ain't going to allow the evil to dwell with Him. Huh? Satan raised up a little bit of pride. He pitched him out. Angel said, I think the same way they pitched. He pitched them out. I ain't going to have it. Well, how any of us going to go? Huh? How are any of us going to make it? The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. You understand? God don't like it. God don't like the way we act. He don't like us. When we're unbelievers. Wait a minute. We're talking about God loving a sinner. Could we think the ocean feel and where the skies are? Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Let's look on. Romans 1:18 says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. God ain't for a sinner man. That's wicked, that rebels, hateful and mean. Huh? Are you hearing me? So let's look on. God is pure. God is holy. God is just. God is sinless and clean. God is perfect. And because of that, because that's the way God is, huh? He cannot condone sin because of who He is. He cannot permit sin in His presence because of who He is. And if we stop right there, then ain't nobody got any hope. Ain't nobody got a way. Ain't nobody can do anything. But because He's pure, and because He's holy, and because He's just, and because He's sinless and clean, and because He's perfect in every way, there's something else that comes into place. Hallelujah to God. And let's see what it is. Because of all He is, and all these things that He is, He's merciful. Amen. Cheryl, I didn't know you was going to sing it this morning before Sunday school. That mercy rewrote my life. Amen. Can I tell you that what was written down for me, I lost without God, a rebel. Oh, are you listening to me? I was against God, against His word, against His ways, against everything that God stood for. I was against right. I didn't want to do right. Hey, I still have trouble doing right. Huh? And what was written down for me was going to be hell. Because that's what I deserved. But because that God is perfect and holy and just in every way, then He can't just be that way. He's got to have grace and mercy and love and provision and all of that come together because He's the great God this morning. He loves us in spite of us. Ezekiel 18:20 says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Yeah. What it says, the son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. Can I tell you, I don't answer for daddy.
Right.
My daddy was a preacher, but that didn't save me. I don't answer for my papa. Hey, the righteous, I'm not going to answer for their righteousness. It ain't going to help me, and their wickedness ain't going to condemn me.
Right.
It's mine. It's mine. It's my wickedness that's going to condemn me. Think about that.
Right.
And because of that, I'm supposed to die. Huh? Give me the next one. But yet the Lord says, Ezekiel 18:23, have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live? Look, are you listening? Huh? Even though we're condemned to die, even though that's where we ought to be, can I tell you, he says, I don't have no... Listen, I'm perfect, I'm holy, I'm just, I can't condone sin, I can't allow evil in my presence, I can't allow none of that. But I don't have no pleasure in it. I don't have no pleasure in you being lost. I'm not setting up for saying, yeah, snuff that one now. Yeah, no. No, because he's so holy, and because he's so pure, because he's so great and marvelous, he can't allow that sin around him. But he's still God. And he's still the Creator. And there's still some mercy there. And there's grace there. Oh, thank God there's some love there for an old sinner like us. Because it says, for I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live ye. In other words, I'm going to give you a chance. Won't you turn? You turn, and there'll be life. Huh? We still okay? Give me the next one. Look, I love this verse. Psalms 86:15. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion. Boy, can I get a hand up? Ain't you glad he's full of compassion this morning? Oh, my soul, this morning, he's full of compassion and gracious. He's gracious this morning. Think about that. He long, oh, what a wonderful word that the Lord God is long suffering. Ain't you glad that he's got patience with you? Huh? Ain't you glad he's got patience with you? Look at you this morning. Look where you've been, what you've been doing, how you've been acting, and he ain't killed you. Huh? Look at the patience he's got, and he's been waiting on you day after day after day. He's called you, he's drawn you, he's given you every opportunity, and yet you turn your back on him. Oh, thank God that he's long-suffering to us for this morning.
Yeah.
And then it said, well, go back, don't change till I say. He said, long-suffering and plenteous. Look at that, and plenteous in mercy.
Yeah.
He don't just have a little bit.
Right.
He got plenty of mercy. Huh?
Yeah.
How much you need?
Yeah.
Cheryl Ann, you might need more than Libby behind you. Huh? But they plenty.
Right. Yeah.
Huh? They plenty for all of you this morning. They plenty for all the world. And we can use it all up today. And there's still mercy left over. And there'll be more. Come midnight, there'll be a whole new shipment come through. That's how great this wonderful God is.
Amen.
Though he may be stern, and though he may be holy and just and pure, and all righteous, totally righteous, huh? Hear me this morning. He can't allow the wickedness in his presence. But he's also full of mercy. He's also gracious. He's also full of truth. Huh? Can I tell you that he loves you this morning? Let's look down next. Ezekiel 33:11, saying to them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways. For why will ye die, O house? That's what he told a whole nation that. Yeah. Told a whole nation, why will you die like that? Huh? He's telling you this morning, why would you die like that? Huh? Let's look on now. Because we are sinners. Listen to me. Because we have all broken the laws of God. Because we have all at one time or another, we've lived in unbelief. Huh? Either you're living in unbelief now or you have been. Huh? Are you following me? We deserve to die. We've blasphemed God. We've committed every sin under the sun. We deserve hell. We deserve hell. He's a just God, a holy God, a pure God. And because of that standard, we deserve hell because we chose to go against Him.
Amen.
Not because He made us like that, but because we chose to go against Him. Huh? When sin was passed down, it was passed down to us from a man that chose his own way, not God's way. Huh? For by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death is passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Romans 5:12, that's what it says. Are you hearing me? But let's look. See, but God's love is undeserving. That's the first thing I want you to know about how God loves a sinner. God's love is undeserving. Ain't nobody in here deserves it. Nobody in here deserves it. But think about it. We don't deserve it. Huh? I don't care how high you think you are. You don't deserve it. Huh? And if you feel low, well, you of course you don't deserve it. But let's look on. That's what makes God love so great. It's not deserved. It's not merited. You understand that? And we can't change ourselves for Him to love us. There's nothing we can do to change that fact on our own. Not by works. Not being good enough. Not thinking good deeds. See, I tell, well, I just love everybody. I love all of you. Huh? Now, in a sense, y'all can all say, well, I believe the preacher does love me. But we're going to have to put it in categories. And I mean, that's just honest. We're going to have to get in line. Everybody ain't going to be number two. Huh? Somebody's going to be last. Just the way it is. Somebody in here is going to be last. Now, I'm just being honest. Now, if you're the kind that loves everybody equally, well, all liars will have our partner like a fire. That's all I'm saying. So we don't love equally. So what now? Then what do we do? Well, let's look. We got to look because we know God's love now is undeniable. Huh? It's undeserving. It's undeserving. And we say, what are we going to do? Well, He's going to show us. He's going to show us how much He loves us. And it's undeniable for the whole world to see. The world can't deny it. History will record what happened, that God's love was undeniable. The Bible records it. It's been proclaimed for years and years and years. Let's look and see. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Can I tell you that God proved He loves a sinner? It's undeniable because He sent His Son to die for us. Huh? Show me, as I've said many times, show me in the Bible, let it read on every page from Genesis to Revelation, God loves me. God loves me. God loves me. And can I tell you that without Calvary, it's just void on a book. But when He showed me Calvary, then I know that God loves me like He said He did. And it's undeniable when I look at the cross. It's undeniable when I see the cross there and God in the flesh and nails, gets nailed there and hangs there and sheds his blood there. Hear me this morning. It's undeniable that God loves the sinner. Huh? Can I look at the next one, please? But God commends his love toward us, Romans 5:8. But God commended, he commended his love toward us. He gave it, he showed it, made it seen, made you understand. But God commended his love toward us in the while we were what? Yet sinners. He didn't wait. He didn't wait till you turned. He didn't wait till you found some faith. He loved you right in the middle of your filth and trash. But God commended his love toward us. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's undeniable. See, God's love is undeserving. But God's love is undeniable. Because of the cross. Because of the cross this morning. You're not saved this morning. You're loved. Huh? You say, well, nobody's ever told me. Oh, God did. God told you. Huh? Huh? I carry in my Bible, I've carried it since I pastored the first year at Mountain Baptist up at Carl. That's done well. It used to be a long thing and just keeps wearing off as I've carried it all these years. There's not even no writing on it anymore. But can I tell you what it said? It said, I asked Jesus how much he loved me and he opened his arms wide and died for me. And I've carried that in my Bible all these 30-some years. I want you to understand it's undeniable that God loves you. That God loves me. It's undeniable. Huh? You say, well, I don't deserve it. You're right. Now you're cooking. Yeah, you don't deserve it. But his love is undeniable. Huh? Can we look again? The cross is proof of God's love. Think about that. Huh? Show me another. Then God's love is unexplainable. It's undeserving. It's undeserving. Ain't nobody in here deserves it. But ain't nobody in here can deny it. It's undeniable. But ain't nobody in here can explain it. Because it's unexplainable. It's unexplainable. See, what I just told you about us, and then what I just told you about him, the thing that God would leave heaven and humble himself to the point that he put on a robe of flesh, being made lower than the angels. Yeah. Huh? Think about that. That great humiliation from heaven to earth. To put on a robe of flesh. To walk where man walks. To eat what man's eat. Then to feel what man would feel. Huh? To be spit on, to be lied on, to be denied, to be betrayed. Huh? For his friends to walk away from him and leave him by himself. Huh? For those who said they love him, kiss him, and then run and betray. Everything that we've ever done was done to him. Huh? And he says, I love you. I love you. Think about that. Judas kissed him on the cheek. Huh? A friend. Calls him friends. They be friends. Huh? Are you hearing me this morning? It's undeniable. But boy, I can't explain it. Let's look. 1 John 4:10. Hearing his love. Look at this. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. Wait a minute. We're all trained. I'll love you if you love me. Huh? We even do that when we court. Tell me, well, you tell me first. Then is that how I do when people's courting? You know how they get that puppy love? I love you. You tell me, I'll tell you. Huh? Is that not how we are? That's how we are when we grow up. I'll love you if you love me. You don't like me, I ain't going to have nothing to do with you. Huh? But that ain't the way he loves. We okay? Listen, us church people ought to be excited about this. Us Christians ought to be excited. If you're not saved, I can see you're not being real excited because you're not understanding all of it. But us, we ought to be tickled. But you know what's coming, don't you? You know what's in the future. Because I'm showing you the example of love. I'm showing us the example of love. And this is the example. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. And then he done something because he was concerned about me. Remember the meanings back at the beginning? Huh? Remember the meaning where it says love is an unselfish concern about others' welfare? Love is that act of one person seeking the highest good for another? Huh? We okay? Because look what he done. He sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. To be the satisfying deed to God for me and you. To be the propitiation, to be the satisfying action for my sins to God. Huh? We okay? Think about that. Can you explain that? I can't either. Let's look at it again. Romans 11, 32 and 33 says, for God has concluded them all, and I believe he's talking to Israel here, and he's talking about the whole nation, but it might not be written to me, but it's written for me. And now I look at this and say, for God has concluded them all in unbelief that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past. I can't explain how he does this and why he does it. Because it goes on and says, well, who's told him to do anything? It goes on and talks about that counsel. Who's told him to do anything? Huh? Yeah, I don't understand. See, some of you, not all of you, but some of you, I understand why God loves you. Huh? But some of you is in the same shape I'm in. I don't understand why he loves me. See, some of you, I put you way up here and I think you're pretty good. And I understand God caring for you. Oh, but I know me. And I don't even like me most of the time. But he loves me just like he loves you. He loves me like he loves you. Huh? He loves me like he loves Carolyn. Wow. Wow. He loves me like he does Rick Childers. Wow. Wow. Are you hearing me? He loves me. Who's the dirtiest sinner in here? He loves me like he loves you. I was glad you were going to do that. Well, I'm glad you participated. Why? Because he's holy. And just and pure and righteous and full of truth. And he can't allow wickedness around him. He can't allow sin around him. So he said, since my creation can't get around me, then I'm going to go down and die for my creation. And I'm going to suffer and bleed and die for them. And then they'll look upon me. And then they'll have faith in me. And then we'll be back together again. For I'm going to make them as if they'd never sinned. And I'm going to make them as if they'd done everything right. So when everything is recorded in glory, looks at the pages are white as snow, and there's nothing held against it. Hey, I don't understand it, but I believed it, and I thank God, and he loves a sinner like me this morning. Hallelujah. Think about it this morning. Oh, it's taking real. It's taking real this morning that he loves me, a dirty sinner. He loved me, for I was as lost as anybody in this church house. We're not going to brag on sin and what you've done and what I've done. But can I tell you, I was guilty of everything just like you. And he saved me and forgive me and cleansed me. And oh, there ain't nobody like him this morning. Can I see another one? For this is 1 Timothy 2, 3 and 4. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men. Now wait a minute. Now wait a minute now. I know some that ought to go to hell. Huh? I know some that they ought to go. You don't know any like that? I know some that ought to go. They're wicked. I mean, they're filthy. I mean, what they've done, oh, they ought to have been hung up somewhere and let the birds eat their eyeballs out. Peck them clean, huh? Then put flesh on them again and let it happen again. That's what ought to have been done. But see, I don't love like him. Because he said, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. Who'll have all men to be saved. Who would have all men? The ones that's hurt women and children. The one who showed no mercy. To the one that's stolen and cheated and and done everything. Nah, to everyone. To ones that hurt your family. To the ones that hurt you. He wants them safe too. Who would have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. See, God's love is undeserving this morning. But God's love is undeniable. But it's still unexplainable. I don't have to explain it. But I'm going to click my heels and go through the church and down through the house saying, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong, they are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Can we have another one? The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God loves the sinner. Huh? One more. God's love for a sinner is undeserving, it's undeniable, and it's unexplainable. Now, what are you going to do with it this morning? Are you saved?
Yes.
Are you saved this morning?
Yes.
I mean, have you turned? He said, turn ye and live.
Right.
Have you turned?
Yes.
Have you turned from the devil and the world and the ones you serve? Have you turned to Him this morning? If not, you ought to turn and live this morning. Because God loves you, a sinner. Cheryl, you go to piano. Clark, how about Jesus paid it all this morning? Father, I come just now. And Lord, my feeble words ain't enough. You're so high and perfect and holy. And I'm so glad that You died in my place, that I might have Your righteousness. You became my sin, that I might have Your righteousness, that I could be with You. You're wonderful. Boy, I sure love You. And You love sinners. Lord, you're not going to cut us no slack. Lord, it's wrong. We understand. But yet, you sent your son. Lord, you come in the form of your son to die for me. Thank you. Thank you so much. And Lord, speak to every heart. Lord, if for someone lost here this morning, would you draw them and show them mercy? Lord, they might believe you this morning. And oh God, help us to fall in love with you all over again, because you love sinners just like me. In your name I ask. Amen.